Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact. I'm Natalie Silverstein. Each week, I'll introduce you to young people who are making a difference in their communities through nonprofits, social entrepreneurship, volunteerism, and activism. I hope you'll be inspired by these conversations, which prove that every person, no matter their age, can help to create a kinder world. When I speak to young changemakers, we frequently talk about representation and mentorship, the way that young people, especially those in under-resourced communities, need to see leaders who look like them in order to imagine the possibilities for themselves. My guest today, Manveer from California, understood this as an eighth grader and started Off the Stage, an organization dedicated to connecting youth with role models from diverse backgrounds, inspiring them to pursue their own goals and aspirations. Welcome back, everyone. I'm super excited to introduce you to my new friend, Manveer. He's going to tell us all about this wonderful organization he started called Off the Stage. Hey, Manveer, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for joining us. So why don't you start with a little bit more about yourself, where you're from, where you're in school, what grade you're in, all that good stuff. And then tell us the whole story of Off the Stage, how it got started, what it's all about.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Manveer Singh. I'm 17 years old and I'm from the Bay Area. I'm currently a senior and I'm from Menlo Park, if anybody is local. And so just to kind of give you a little bit more context about Off the Stage, I think, you know, growing up, I was born and raised in a majority white area. So I was used to kind of being the only Sikh student at my school. And as a result, I think like there was a lot of moments of like microaggressions or other things that kind of made me feel very isolated from my community. And at first I thought this was just an issue for me, but as I spoke with students from other minority groups, I realized that my sense of alienation was actually not that uncommon. And many of my Black and Hispanic friends, I actually felt a similar disconnect from our community. And then in seventh grade, I attended a summer camp in Stockton, California, which is a city about 40 minutes from where I live, which is supported by trucking and manufacturing. And I think more importantly, whose population is nearly 50% Black and Hispanic. And so while I was there, when my friends discussed their dream careers, I found that most of them were always kind of along the lines of like, oh, I want to do like trucking because that's what my dad does, or I want to go work at the Amazon center because that's what my brother does. And so their aspirations were actually really limited by their surroundings. And I think the key part was because they didn't see any minority leaders serving as, you know, CEOs or doctors or senators, these students were really unable to imagine themselves in that position. And so I was really troubled by this. And that's kind of what pushed me to found Off Stage, which is a nonprofit. And our entire goal is just to connect minority students with leaders from similar minority backgrounds in small workshop settings.
Wow, that's amazing. Again, I don't need to say the phrase. Everyone's thinking the phrase, you have to see it to be it, right?
Exactly. So, yeah.
That's just it. I mean, that's just true. That's true for minority groups. That's true for women, right? It's just true for everyone. If you don't see yourself in front of a room or on a stage or at a table, you don't think that there's a place for you on that stage or in that room or at that table. And that's simply not true. Tell me, when did it actually get started for you? I saw your website. It looks amazing. You have so many wonderful workshops on there. How do you find the students who come to take part? And then how do you find the speakers?
Sure. Yeah. So I started Off the Stage when I was in eighth grade. And so the way our kind of, I guess, system works is we host these workshops. And in these workshops, what will happen is there's a few different pieces. So the first part is the speaker will come and kind of give a fireside chat. So they'll, you know, tell youth a little bit about, like, you know, similar to this, like, oh, here's where I grew up. Here's how I got interested in what I was doing. And I think what's more important is that because these leaders are also from minority backgrounds, they're able to speak to smaller things. So for example, like, you know, here's like some sort of like discrimination I had to overcome as I entered, say, medicine or tech, or, you know, like, here's how I grappled with being like the only non-white person in the room at board meetings. And I've actually seen, like, you know, like when they say these things, you can really see students connecting with them because that really just kind of hits close to home for them. And after that, speakers will then transition to just sharing a little bit more about the work they do. So, for example, we had this event with the CEO of an autonomous truck company. So they're trucks that drive themselves. And after, you know, speaking a little bit more about how he got into this work, he actually just like told students a lot more about what it's like, you know, like managing a big team of like, you know, engineers and salesmen and this and that. And, you know, how do you go about kind of coordinating everything? How do you like work with investors? How do you work with clients? How do you kind of scale your company? All these things, which seem very kind of novel and foreign to students, become suddenly a lot easier to understand when there's like an expert breaking it down for you. So these kids kind of get exposure to a relatable leader, and then they also get to learn about the field. And then the final part of our workshops are these kinds of hands-on activities. And this is kind of where like the students, you know, they get to get a taste of what the actual work is like. So for example, we had an event with a bunch of surgeons from UCSF, which is a hospital. And so for the activities there, what they did was they set up within their like kind of within the hospital, they set up a bunch of stations for kids to go to. And so, you know, they got to practice things like, you know, suturing, which is like the stitches they do after surgery, or, you know, using like laparoscopic surgery tools to like pick up jelly beans. And you kind of just get to like, you know, when you're like using the same stuff they do, you can kind of envision yourself like, hey, like I could one day be like doing these stitches after I do neurosurgery or I do something else.
Wow. It's so amazing that they set all of that up for you. And I mean, that's really very generous in terms of their time and their resources and like making space for those types of hands-on activities. Again, I think it's fantastic. I wonder how you got those folks to say yes. I mean, this is, you really have just such an incredible number of professionals making these resources happen for your students. How do you find them? How do you recruit them? Do you ever have anybody say, no, no, thank you, I don't want to do that?
Yeah, it's there's no like kind of secret formula to it. It's a lot of just like knocking on doors. It's a lot of cold emails. And it's not, you never really hear a no. Most of the time, like I'll send out maybe like 10 emails, I'll get like one response. I mean, you know, these are very busy people. And so it's hard for them to obviously do this. But I think a lot of like the speakers I talk to, like they all want to kind of do this sort of work. It's just a time issue for a lot, or it's just like kind of setting it up. But I think generally what I've seen is that people want to help. Like, for example, those surgeons, like they, at the end of that event, they were like, we want to do this again, you know, maybe next year or the year after. Like, we really enjoyed kind of sharing this with kids. So we would love if we could make this like kind of a recurring event, because they kind of see it as like them mentoring this younger audience, and they feel that they're actually getting something out of it as well.
100%. And they probably feel like they didn't have that when they were coming up, and they wish that they had had that, right? Many times people are the first one that kind of breaks through, and now they want to pay that forward a little bit. So are these programs mostly after school and on the weekends?
Yeah. So our workshops, we generally do them on the weekends, because I think we found that that's kind of like Saturday morning or Saturday, like before noon. Like I just kind of realized like through a lot of like trial and error, like that's the sweet spot, because otherwise, you know, people have like soccer practice or debate club or this and that. So that's kind of like the best spot.
Sure. And these are primarily high school age. Is that correct?
It varies. I think generally we actually have more like middle school kids, sometimes high school as well. It really just depends from like workshop to workshop. And we try to kind of be as open as we can.
And in terms of recruiting the kids, are you putting flyers up? Are you talking with schools and having them blast it out? And then do they sign up for a spot? Like, is it possible that a workshop would get full and close?
Yeah, it's a lot of, you know, like flyers and things like that and advertising in local schools. I would actually say like trying to get the message out is always the hardest part for me for these workshops. And it takes like, you know, like we'll have to send like flyers to whatever, like 15, 20 schools all over the area. And you always kind of run into these issues. Like some schools will say no for like this reason or that reason, or you have to go to this platform, or they have a very specific kind of like pipeline to like submit this stuff. So I've kind of learned that, but thankfully by now I've created, because we've had like enough workshops, I've started to create this like mailing list of students who've attended my past workshops. So we're able to have a lot of these recurring attendees, which is great.
And do you find that you need to do fundraising? Is there any expense for you? Transportation, advertising? You know, I know you're not paying the mentors and the speakers, but is there, you know, any kind of thing where you have to raise some money, and how are you doing that?
Yeah. So obviously our speakers are very gracious. Like they're donating their time and their offices, but In terms of expenses, I think the big thing for me is that obviously we have like, you know, our website hosting and things like that. But I think the biggest expense is the advertise. A lot of schools use this platform called Peach Jar, which is like an e-bulletin. And the thing is, it costs about $25 per school per flyer. So, for example, if I want to like put my flyer in 8 schools, that's $200 for a single event. So that one actually racks up really quick. And so thankfully, I've been able to get a grant, which has kind of helped me cover the funding. But I don't really have like, you know, a lot of like funding. So we have to be very intentional with where we do spend our money.
Sure. And your speakers tend to provide the space, right? So you went to the hospital in that case with the surgeons, you would go to someone's office, right? So you don't have to have a physical plant, right?
Yeah. So I think one thing we've seen is that when you take a youth to the actual offices of these people or where they work, like it all suddenly becomes very, very real. So actually one other event, it wasn't an autonomous trucking company. This was an autonomous forklift company. So it sounds pretty similar. But what this speaker did was he was really gracious. He actually invited us to their like mock warehouse, which is like, you know, in the industrial part of town. And while we were there, what he did was he brought like a few of his team members in as well. And he kind of just had all the forklifts just running for the kids. So he was able to like show them like picking up pallets and putting them on warehouse shelves and taking them off. And that just experience is insane. Like there's no replacement for actually seeing it live.
Absolutely.
Like I'd seen videos of it on YouTube, but like actually like watching it in the moment, I was just like shocked. Like,
right. Blown away.
Like somebody can do that.
Right. And the really amazing thing about this is, so that person, that workshop leader was talking about the business, right, of this forklift company. But there's all these other things that they're learning about, right? Like who designed that? What is this? What's the computer programming? What's the software programming of that? You know, all of the different aspects of that work that went into this kind of aha, amazing moment of watching the forklifts run around with no one driving them. Like, just think about all of the different sparking that you've made there for young people who are thinking about what's possible for them or what they might like to study in the future. You know, I find it so interesting. I do have a senior in high school as well. So she's in this process with you right now. People ask her all the time, like, what do you want to do with your life? And what are you going to be? How in the world are you supposed to know that unless you've gone out into the world and seen what's possible? And this work is just providing that for these young people. I think it's just incredible, Manveer. I'm curious about the name Off the Stage. You know, when you signed up for a slot and we were communicating back and forth, I assumed this had to do with theater. And then I looked at your website and I was like, oh, it doesn't have anything to do with theater. Just tell me, where did the name come from?
Yeah. So I think where it comes from is basically, like, they're actually in like a lot of like these leaders online, like people like this, people even bigger, like, you know, you can find plenty of interviews of like presidents. But I think the difference is like when you have those types of kind of appearances or interviews, those tend to just be highlighting the accomplishments, like, you know, like the most polished, carefully revised versions of that person and their journey and their company. Whereas with Off the Stage, what we do is we're taking them, the speakers off the stage. So we kind of bring them and we're able to show the whole story. So actually our speakers are really vulnerable. And you know, they share not just the ups, but also the downs. Like, you know, like this was like the moment like for one of our speakers, like when his startup just completely like failed and like how he was able to pivot. But yeah, I mean, he was speaking to like a complete failure that he had. And that I think you wouldn't be able to get that in any kind of other situation. And I think that organic story is what actually makes it really valuable.
Absolutely. And again, sharing their own vulnerability, perhaps saying, I was the first person in my family to go to college, or this was how I had to work hard to be able to finance my education. These are all things that the young people that you're recruiting to come and take the workshops, they need to hear those things, right?
Yeah.
Again, these are the things that need to happen for me to be successful. And this person was able to do it. And so I can too. Well, it's really wonderful work, Manveer. I just think it's such important stuff. Again, I kind of can't believe it doesn't already exist and that you created it when you were in the 8th grade. It's just really fantastic. Can you tell everybody where they can learn more, see your website, perhaps reach out and see if they can replicate this wonderful model in their own community?
Sure, yeah. So our website is offthestage.org. And I would say, like, you know, if anybody's interested, I think we have a contact form on our website. So feel free to reach out through that. And, you know, I'd love if somebody's interested in some sort of collaboration, or if there's anybody out there who thinks they'd be a good speaker, we'd love to hear from you.
Fantastic. Manveer, thank you so much for this. I think it's just such incredible work. Please keep going, and good luck in your college process. I don't think you're going to need it. You're going to do amazing things in the world. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Natalie. Take care.
Thanks for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today and would like to support the creation of this podcast and the work of the changemaker I featured, please visit my website, simpleactsguide.com/podcast, to make a donation. And please follow, rate, and review the podcast to help us spread these positive messages.